From Knockadoon to Ardmore, so much to do and see. Our resident historian is back with us again this week. Mike Brooks, you're very, very welcome to the programme. Thanks very much for coming in to us.
Thanks very much, Noel. Good morning to everybody again.
Now, this week, one moment, Mike, this week we're taking a virtual trip to Killa.
We're coming back down as well a small bit, and we're just coming down to St. John the Baptist Catholic Church.
Oh, yes, yes.
So the present church is on the eastern end of the village. We all know it, just at the bridge there, and is dedicated to St. John the Baptist, and was rebuilt, and it says was rebuilt in 1861, but I think it was just built in 1861 in neo-Gothic style under the direction of the parish priest, Father Morris Power.
Right, so right.
No, sorry, when it says probably was rebuilt.
There might have been an earlier church there. Well, I wonder, was there an earlier church there beforehand?
Well, probably it's the old graveyard church. I'd say that's where they're saying it was rebuilt. I don't think there was any church there.
Wasn't there,
on that site anyway. So we're just at the church. We're after coming back out of the thatch for a pint. Cross over the bridge. The very first building, as you're crossing, we're coming from the old direction, we'll call it, and you cross over the bridge, and the very first house, you can't miss it, on your right hand side.
On your right hand
beside
side.
The thatch. Yes. You say. So it does the thatch, the river, and then this house, and that's called Barrack House.
That's now the Greywood Art Centre, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, the Greywood Art Centre. They do fantastic. They're actually the people actually that we say, you know, do the main instigators of the present Killa May Sunday Festival.
All right.
So they're very, very prominent. Yeah, so it's great to see them.
And can you go in there? Can people just go in there, or is it?
Well, it's an art centre, actually. Yeah. And how you know it, actually, is as you go over the bridge there, there's a little box.
That's right, with the books.
With the books inside.
Yeah, I see that.
That's a mobile library. Brilliant. Yeah. And actually, I'm sure they're
take a book, leave a book.
Take a book, leave a book. But I'm sure that if you knock the door, there'd be no problem at all.
Choose them, yeah. Jeez, I didn't realise. It's a beautiful building.
Beautiful building, actually.
Can't miss it
but that was the old... The barracks. Sorry. That was on the right hand side.
And that's on the right hand. And we'll say it was built in 1767 by John Davis, again, the Davis family again. It's amazing. I always say the names, all the same names in the same area. Mm. And for years and years and years, they just keep kind of adding. And it was initially known, right, as Killa House. And this remained in the Davis family until 1925. So again, going back from the 1700s up to the 1925. But again, the Killa House bit, and I'll come back to that bit. It became the second RIC barracks. So that's,
I believe it was. Yeah.
If you look at it, actually, there's an information
plaque on the thing
to give kind of more information. But the first barracks was the house next door on the left hand side. So say Barrack House and then next door house. And if you look at it, actually, they do. You can see where they kind of look very alike as well. That they would have been. Probably, you know, used at the same time, same time.
The original barrack, so the barrack also was on the right and on the left across the road.
So basically, the RIC barracks, we'll say, which is the house we're talking about.
Yeah, the Greywood Art Centre on the right hand side.
Is the right hand side. Yeah. But we'll come to Killa House now, the new Killa House, we'll call it now next. So that was the RIC barracks, but that was known as the original Killa House, I suppose. The Davises used to live there as well. But what they said was it was burnt during the War of Independence, which was a lot of
we were just saying that a lot of the houses in the previous programme, that a lot of the houses were burnt.
But especially the barracks, they were all because they wanted to get rid of the RIC.
Exactly,
the RIC
that was the thing.
The village
as well.
And sure, we all know the Killa guys were all mental. So it was, but it was bought, which was nice as well, I suppose, in this way, because what it said was it was burnt and then later it was bought and done up by G.H. Hogan, who was the last RIC sergeant of Killa at the time.
Right.
And he developed a carpentry and sawmill at the premises and employed, because there is sheds at the back of it, if you look at it
there
today.
There is, yes, yes.
There's still a lot of sheds and things at the back of it. And he employed up to 16 people there.
My goodness.
So, but you're standing right at the door of the Barrack House, we'll call it.
Right.
Look straight across the road. You see at the corner again, they're doing it up at the moment, I think.
Is yes, another house there,
And it's all stonework outside of it.
Yes.
You can see that they're after bringing JCBs and diggers into
that's
the back
right,
of it.
That's right, a huge back in it there. Yeah. Like, it was idle for years and years and years. Great to see it being done up.
And I think are they making units or something?
I think that's
what I heard anyway as well. No, that's the new Killa House. So would the real Killa House please stand up?
Yes.
That's the new
Killa House.
So Barrack House. We'll
say Barrack House and Killa House,
absolutely. And again, built in 1770 by Roger Davis. So you can see here the road was probably built around the 1750s. That's the way I get it now at the moment, because all the buildings on the main street, the main buildings, was the Barrack House, 1765, Killer House, 1770. One is across from the other. So it must have been around, I'd say 1765, if I had to give a date, for this new road to go through Killer.
If you look at the buildings themselves, the two oldest buildings, as you say, is Killer House and Barrack.
Yeah.
From then on, they're relatively new structures. On both sides up along, because you can see them now. I know a lot of the houses have been done up now and refurbished and re-roofed and replastered and all that. But you can see by the layout of the houses that they weren't anything older than, as you say, 1750s.
I can see it here from 1767. So if you said even 1765, the road was there. You know the way. I'd say that's when it was, because it has to be, because, and you just said it there. You're right. I think the oldest houses were the nearest to the river.
To the river,
and then they worked up along the way as well. There's a lovely house actually. If you kind of go past up, go up the main street again, you're heading towards, we'll say, Cork, Middleton. You're heading on that direction. Again, on the left hand side, it's called Church Cottage Killer. It's a lovely stonework kind of cottage.
Right.
And do you remember there was a hatchery there, a chicken hatchery or something like that?
Lynch's had a chicken hatchery. That's now on the left hand side. Alongside the guards' barracks.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Lovely house. I've no idea when it was built. I was trying to find that, because I was trying to get it in with the 1770s to see, was it with the road? But it's obviously a very old house. But what it was, what it kind of got me was Church Cottage, because it's across from the graveyard. Right across from the graveyard. It's situated opposite the old graveyard. But it was a Mr. and Mrs. Patrick Cronin owned a house. And they said, Patrick Cronin released some ground in 1905, so it must be the 1800s, so if it was 1905, for an extension of the old graveyard. Remember it? Because there was the ancient graveyard in Killa, and then there was the old graveyard, and there's the newer graveyard now down by the GAA, the other way as you head down. So there's kind of three stages to graveyards, I suppose, there. Mr. Cronin died, and then it was left to Mrs. Cronin. She died in 1945 at the age of 98 years of age, fair dues to her. And what she did was bequeathed the lands, 150 acres, and the house and everything she had to the Cistercian community, the Mount Millery, the monks in
Mount Millery.
So Capoquin, and they got it. In 1935, the graveyard was then further extended towards the Ballyquirk Road, which this land was acquired from the monks, you know the way, so the monks sold them the land. So it was so they got all that, so it was good. But we just mentioned there, we'll say the old graveyard. Inside the old graveyard now is the Killa, the Church of Ireland.
Yes.
And the old Church of Ireland, it's not used, obviously, enough.
Privately owned, actually.
There's some full of works there, is it?
Stone cutters from Middleton actually have it, and they use it as a stone. They use it for a workshop and a factory as well,
It's great to see it being used.
Exactly.
Fantastic,
again, like, it's one of these buildings that was idle for years and years and years. But as I said, there's a company now from Middleton have it, and they're actually cutting, which say headstone, stone cutting, and engraving and that kind of thing.
Because I went in there, I was in, we'd say, in the graveyard there over Christmas again, because Helen, my wife, her great grandfather and great grandfather were. Is buried, our great-grandfather is buried there.
Yeah.
And so I went into the ancient graveyard. Absolutely fantastic. It's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
Well worth a walk around as well. But what they said was it was built in 1812, and it was the former Church of Ireland of St. John. This was built on the ancient parish church of Killa. Is where St. Ada
came in,
From Killa. And what they said was recent excavations, and I saw that actually, there's a good website with all the excavations as well, found enclosed ditches and burials immediately outside the graveyard. So the whole kind of, and what it says was the old graveyard in an area known as Killa Gardens. That's what we were just mentioned there. And a possible site of a medieval nunnery known as St. Owen's. Again, I think they're getting this confused with County Offaly, you know the way. So
yes.
I, I'd give the nunnery bit a kind of a
wide glass.
Yeah,
yeah.
We're coming up near to the end, and the last bit that I have for you, Noel, Killa International Airport.
Oh, yes. Ballyquirk.
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 I'm going to have to mention a guy called Tony O'Mahony. I got his stuff. Does Cork Shipwrecks. And a website called Cork Shipwrecks, look it up. And Tony did a great kind of piece in that as well, with a load of photographs, if anybody wants to see it as well. But for anybody that travels again, kind of to Middleton, Cork, wherever, as you're coming out of Killa, right, you're driving out of Killa, probably a kilometre, I'd say a kilometre and a half outside Killa, on the Middleton, Castle Martyr Road, we'll call it. Have a look to your right hand side, inside in the fields beyond, we call it.
Yeah, there's actually a turn down there. You go down to Ballyquirk.
That's right.
You can actually go down and you can skirt it. Now, I know it's in private land at the moment, but you get a bird's eye view of it. And the water tower, I believe, is in absolutely brilliant condition.
I thought that water, until I went down there myself and did kind of the history, you know, some years ago now, I did this. I actually thought that was the Killa water tower. I just took it for granted that that was the water tower for Killa and still in use. Yeah. But it wasn't. It was World War One. So if you're ever looking at it, lads, especially now in the wintertime, it's brilliant because you can actually see a lot. You'll see the water tower on your right hand side as you're driving to Castle Martyr, a couple of kilometres probably from Killa. And you'll see, if you look closely, there's a lot of ivy clad buildings around
Yes.
So what this was Killa, we said Killa International Airport, but what it was Killa Royal Navy Airship Station.
Yes.
So it was airplanes, but it was airship.
Aerodrome, I think they called them at the time or something like that. You know, but it is fascinating. And I do believe that back in the early 60s, the government at the time looked at that area to put Cork Airport. Cork Airport originally.
I heard that, yeah.
They were looking at that. But I think it was, they were worried about fog and that kind of thing. And
they have definitely fog where
definitely
it is now.
Fog where it is now. But the interesting thing about that, actually, when you go down, if you're coming, say, from Killa or coming from Mogilly, and you're halfway along that road there, and you'll see, as you're coming out from Killa, if you're actually coming out from Killa now, and on the left-hand side of the road, just as you look down towards, we'd say, the fields where you see the water tower, you'll see a small little, for all the world, shed with lattice windows on it.
Go ahead, yeah.
Right? And it's practically out at the edge of the road. Now,
I know what you're talking about, Jess.
That little lattice shed, apparently, there's a bungalow now built behind it, right? But that little lattice shed actually was one of the sheds, which are one of, it was part of the aerodrome. Yeah. And there was another part of it, I think, up as you go up towards the back of Anstown. If you go up there, top of the hill to Anstown, there's another lookout tower up there, I think. And that was part of it as well.
So, you know, they took in a lot of land.
But so. I often saw that little shed, actually. And it's very distinctive because you'll see the little lattice.
That's true. Yeah, I know exactly the one you're talking about. Yes.
And that was actually part of the aerodrome. So it did take in. And as it was, at the time, the British, there was a white plane there.
Very
flat plane there. Collins's, I think, have the land all down there now at the moment.
Yeah.
And it was very flat. And you could see it was very conducive to,
I suppose to give kind of people, you know, kind of what are we talking about? Basically, what it was during World War One, we'll say, we know kind of all the different films and all that. All the Atlantic traffic was coming from America over. They either had to go over the top around Belfast, you know the way, County Down, Antrim and all that, to get around, or they had to come around by Cork direction.
Yes.
So it was either to get to England, they wanted to get to England. The closer you kept to, we'll say, the north or the south of Ireland, that was the quickest, you know, from A to B, that was the quickest way to do it. So all the German submarines used to land, you know, lie off the land, basically.
Of course.
And they used to be off Yall here, Armagh. We've loads of stories about it before.
So look at the Lusitania and all these, like, you know.
The folios outside there.
Yeah, all these, you know.
Landon, there's a wrecks off Armagh there as well. There's loads of them there. And it was all, the submarines were all here. And they're just waiting for traffic, basically, it was.
Yeah.
So what it was like they said, there was a kind of a desperate search for an effective anti-submarine weapon. And this was going to be met by the airship. You know, the way it worked kind of in England a bit. These hydrogen filled lighter than air, so it was LTA, lighter than craft, were a perfect escort for ships because they had an engine and everything. Like,
think of zeppelins.
If you think anybody know. Yeah. Think of a Zeppelin.
Filled with hydrogen, wasn't it? Hydrogen, helium. Was it hydrogen?
And kind of explosive.
One spark and the whole lot was gone. Actually, look at the Hindenburg.
Absolutely. But like what it was they had the height. Now, they'd be able to kind of, I don't know, did the radio down or did it, could they drop whatever down as well? But they can follow. Submarines didn't go too fast. So we'll say submarines, these were the satellite, was everybody thinks submarines underneath the water to hold them. At the time, submarines spent most of their time above the water because they were very, very slow using battery. They were very fast ships using the diesel engines,
yes,
which can only be
used. But the batteries weren't very efficient at the time, I suppose. And they used
5 knots, 6 knots.
And a lot of them, and if you're directly, as you know yourself, and be long enough in the water, if you're directly over something, you have a great visibility.
Well, you would, and even the shadow in the water.
You would see the shadow in the water.
You could see it good as well. So, the whole thing was like, you know, to get these up there. If the submarine commander saw the we call them the blimps and with the airships above them, you know, they're gone. You know, the way that's for sure as well. So the site was chosen near Killa, approximately 20 miles east of Cork. Really, because of its flat terrain and access to water. It's fairly close to the water then, actually, from Killa as well.
It is, yeah.
And,
and of course, the other huge advantage they had. The railway passed beside it.
You're 100%.
And there was even a siding there, actually.
There was a siding
off that, off the railway, I believe.
I went in to the landowner. So I went in there and I said, that's what got me, was there was a siding inside. Even between the buildings, there was a siding there. So the old Cork railway line, basically, you're dead right, because what it was it was one of the most important things. They said flat, close to the sea, and they said the Cork Yall railway line. If Cork Yall rail line wasn't going to be used, they would have built it probably closer to Ballymacode away. But because they needed the railway as well, and hopefully, you know, if they can get something when the Greenway is there as well, just to kind of put up information about it, it'd be fantastic.
It'd be fantastic, yeah, yeah. Plaque or something like that, or whatever the case may be.
You're dead right, because what it says here, actually, the area, because I always thought it was just the area around where the water tower is, but it says 365 acres.
Would be all, we'd say, Collins's land there. Where we're talking about now is in front of Anstone Peak Station, from there, right down. And if you look at the land there, actually, it was very flat.
Yeah.
Very, very flat. It was actually, geology speaking, I suppose it was a valley. And I would hazard a guess that's where the likes of Killa Gardens got his name.
Yeah, yeah.
Because right down to Killa there, it was very, very flat. And where the GA field is now.
Yeah,
you know, it was very conducive to a GA field because there was very little work to do. It was flat, you see. And, you know, I would imagine so. You know?
But it was, and what they did was they started construction in 1918, obviously during World War One.
Yes.
This was a war base capable of storing and maintaining two non-rigid coastal class airships, which is the kind of, you know, you inflate them up.
Yes.
And then two rigid 33 class airships. So they would have been the ones like the Zeppelin, a smaller version of a Zeppelin with the bars, you know, I think it was aluminium
yes.
used anyway, to make a kind of a frame around it. So they would have been two of them as well, two rigid 33, so they would have been big. It was an enormous task, and actually what they said was the railway was invaluable.
Yes.
Because a siding was built and a platform erected to take the goods. All the construction materials came from England to Cork by ship, from where they were then transported to Killa by rail. Construction was under the direction of the Air Corps. Didn't go all their ways, because actually in June 1919, Terence McSweeney, later Lord Mayor of Cork, led an abortive raid to gain arms and ammunition off the boys.
Yeah, yeah.
But what it says was work on the base continued for the remainder of the war and through the armistice, we'll say when just as the war finished, and only stopped on the 20th of August 1919.
So I suppose the powers that be could see the way the wind was blowing here in Ireland, so they said, look, man out.
I'd say it was.
Yeah, build out, jam, yeah, yeah.
And just to give, because what you just said it there was right, because we'll say, it was great now on the site here, because what it said, at this point of the time, the structures on the site consisted of one rigid airship shed, partially completed, 850-foot by 150-foot by 130-foot. Yeah. That's the one you can still see today.
Yeah.
Even from the road and the Killaclashmore or Killa to Middleton Road, we call it. And then there was one coastal airship shed, partially completed, 356-foot by 160-foot by 70-foot, smaller one. Electrical generation station, quarters for 18 officers and 297 men.
Yes.
This is a big place.
This is a huge undertaking.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then there was offices, stores, garage, lecture hall, canteen, guardhouse, railway connection, and then the water tower.
The water tower, yeah. Yeah.
So that's our story of Killa.
Now, listeners, we're after learning so much about our area.
Absolutely.
And, you know, Mike, I suppose on reflection, and indeed, when you, as I said earlier on, you pass these places and you give them scant thought.
I always said, you know, as a young lad, kind of walking, going past, up to Cork, I thought that water tower was being used, because it looks new. You know the way, it looks new from the thing.
And I would hazard a guess, I'd say, it's in such perfect condition, it could be used as a water
tower.
There's
a few holes in it.
But the structure of it, actually, the structure of it is quite sound, I believe. This, you know, the upright.
It's absolutely fantastic. You can still see it, you know the way. Yeah. And still today, you know, tomorrow, anybody on the road or whatever it is, you'll be able to see it. It's over 100 years old.
It's like the brickyard, the brickboard chimney outside. These things should be preserved for future generations.
I always said, like, I know they have I know they have a little kind of the little monuments things, and you know the road art, they call them. For me, the biggest road art on that road, we'll say the bypass, would have been three lights up the chimney to say this was y'all industrial heritage as well.
Exactly, yeah.
And just leave the lights, have this shining as a beacon, you know, the way for y'all as well. I thought it would have been best, very cheap way of doing it. Three lights wouldn't cost too much. But at least it would show what y'all, the industrial age of y'all as well. A bit like Killa with the mill. Fantastic anyway.
Well, unfortunately, I suppose our generation, failed to do that. But who knows the next generation?